If you've been with us for a while, you know that we've been going through the book of Matthew. We did all 28 chapters in about 30 weeks, and we finished it last week. And I wasn't planning on going in this direction, but I think it's necessary because Matthew ends with Jesus dying on the cross, coming back to life, and going back up to heaven. And the story continues in Acts chapter 1, so I just want to spend a couple of weeks. We're going to hang out in the book of Acts, and we're going to see what happens to the disciples that have been following Jesus, who witnessed his crucifixion and saw him ascend into heaven. So let's read this together. We're going to be in Acts chapter 1. I'm going to start here in verse 3. And I believe I have this for us right here. After his suffering, so that's after Jesus has suffered, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. And on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for an opportunity for all of us to just celebrate the 4th of July, to celebrate our nation, to celebrate the freedoms we have. And Lord, I pray that as we read Acts and we learn about what you did and what the disciples did, that you just, to each and every one of us, impart on exactly what we need through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. My dad and I did not coordinate this, but his greeting question actually leads perfectly into what I want to talk about this morning. A lot of us live in Ludington because of the pace of life, right? Because it's quiet, because it's slow, because you can walk into any restaurant you want to walk into, get a table, there's never a line at the grocery store, there's never any traffic, right? It's fantastic. Except for this week. This is the week that many of us stay away from the crowds in downtown. My wife's giving me the look because she loves the crowds. My old in-law family, they love the crowds, so I'm fighting an uphill battle here, but I am not a good crowd person. I'm a good crowd person. I'm just not a good waiting person. I'll say that. I don't mind a crowd, but I just don't like waiting. And this past week, Melissa handed me a bag of something that needed to get returned to a store. And so I was like, sure. And the receipt's in there. That's a pretty easy task. Walk into the store, return item, right? And I walk into the store and I'm like, hey, there's no one here. This is fantastic. And I walk up to the service counter. Also, there's only one person in front of me. I'm like, thank goodness, because out of four errands I got to run, this is fantastic. I can knock this one out. So I'm sitting there holding my baggie, and the person in front of me is kind of taking a minute. And it's this kind of, the person that's helping the gentleman is a little slow, and the person trying to get, you know, communicate, they're just not really hustling, which is fine. There's only one person in front of me. And the lady who's trying to return the goods for the man in front of me, she was like, hey, my computer's not working. Let me go over to this one. So she kind of, okay, do you know Zootopia? There's that the sloth scene. Have you guys ever seen that one? We just watched that. This is similar to what's happening. So she walks over to the other computer, logs in, you know, hi, how was your day? And then she tries that one. I'm just waiting. It's been probably 120 seconds, so nothing crazy. I'm just waiting a few more minutes. And then she goes, well, this one isn't working either. Let's try the other computer. And then she stops and walks over to the other computer. And now there's a line forming behind me. And I'm starting to get nervous for the person that's like working. Like, are they going to get upset? I'm kind of looking behind me. And I kid you not, we're probably 5 minutes, so it's not that long. But for me, I'm thinking, do I ditch? Do I get out of here? Do I go run other errands and then come back? What if they still haven't resolved this issue and I'm running scenarios? And I'm just trying to figure out, like, there's only one person in front of me and I'm just racing through all the things that I could do to just avoid waiting a few more minutes. And, you know, there's QR codes on the wall, scan here for this app. I'm scanning everything, downloading things. I'm just, like, trying to look for something to do. I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm waiting there. And eventually, it was probably under 10 minutes, and I got my stuff returned and walked out. And I'm just thinking, like, first of all, thank goodness, but then I kind of reflecting on it. I'm like, why is it that waiting in line for one person, and I just start to feel the heebie-jeebies, and my skin starts to crawl, and I just get so antsy, and I want to move as fast as I can. Is there anyone with me? Anyone that's like, no lines, right? That's why one of my greatest fearful vacations I could think of is a vacation to an amusement park. Again, I'm sorry, I'm against my wife here, and we're gonna, maybe you can battle me and the reasons why we should go later. But amusement parks, I've been to Cedar Point before, that's one, and I think I rode 4 roller coasters the entire day. I spent an entire day waiting in line for about 90 seconds of fun. And it's like, man, like that's hard to justify, 2 days of driving and hundreds of dollars and standing in the sun. I can't get there. But I mean, like Disneyland. How many of you guys have been to Disneyland? Yeah, this is one of the most popular destinations for vacation in the world. And I have a hard time in my mind thinking that I'm going to wait in line to do a 90-second ride and then move on with my, I could think of, while you're waiting in line, I'm thinking of 100 different things that I would rather be doing than waiting in line. Disney, this is crazy. I looked at this week. In 1985, Disney based a lot of their experience at Disney World and Disneyland off the research from a guy named David Meister, who wrote a paper called The Psychology of Waiting in Lines. How exciting is that? Who wakes up in the morning and says, you know what, I'm going to put my degree to use today. I'm going to write a paper on the psychology of waiting in lines. So he wrote this huge book, this paper on the psychology of waiting in lines. And so Disney took this paper, this book, and they formed How to Wait in Lines with the information they received from this book. So this is what they did. Disney, for those of you who have been there, know this. They're not trying to make you avoid the lines. The lines are inevitable. You're going to go to Disneyland and you're going to wait in line. This is what you're going to do. So what they're trying to do is trying to engage your brain while you wait in line. I think I even have some slides. So if you go to Disneyland, you can see in like top left and right, there are basically things to look at and interact with while you wait in line. Because they know people like me, if I just have to stand there, I'm going to go just psychotic thinking of all the things I would rather be doing than standing in a line. So they put little things to look at and displays, and there's characters, and there's all kinds of fun things that you can do while waiting in line so you don't go crazy. And Disney tries to give you the best possible experience you can have while waiting in line. Has anyone felt that way at Disney World? Like, hey, waiting in line isn't so bad? All right, y'all are crazy, so. People hate unoccupied time, just like waiting. And I think everyone has figured this out. That's why everything is made to be quicker and instant, right? Thank goodness for Amazon Prime. I love Amazon Prime. It's fantastic. We use it, I hate to say it, probably almost every day. I'm ordering groceries through Amazon Prime because I just want them that day or the next day. We love fast food, we use microwaves, same-day shipping, you know, AI answers in a second. We were reflecting about something that you did, Dad, and it was like, I don't remember who I was talking to, but I'm like, yeah, my dad would go to a library to get a book about information to do something, to build something. And I'm like, if that was what I had to do, I would probably never accomplish much because I go to a library and a book and I gotta read it, take notes. You know, if I can't ask the internet and get an answer right away, then, you know, it's a lot harder to get it done. Our culture is not made around waiting. It's not, it doesn't benefit those who are patient and good at waiting. So this is an interesting point that I want to just bring our attention to in the verse. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he has this little phrase that just caught me this week. Jesus says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait. Everyone say, but wait. But wait. There's more. But wait. And for those of us who hate to wait, Jesus says, but wait. The scene of the ancient crucifixion with Jesus and all of this that has happened, it's been on this uphill ramping up. Jesus arrives in Jerusalem. It's Passover. Millions of people. He's tried in a court of public appeal, and they yell, crucify him, and he dies. And he comes back from the dead, and he shows up to his disciples. And the scripture says over many times, Jesus is there many times, and they're getting ready to just start something intense and beautiful and world-changing in the instructions that Jesus gives, but wait here. Oh, that would just, I'd be that guy like, are you sure you can't just do whatever you're going to do now? Do we have to wait? And it led me thinking about this question this week. Why would the God who can do anything instantly, he can do anything instantly, choose to do things slowly? Why would a God who has all the power in the universe to do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants, choose to do things slowly? He does some things instantly, like when God created light and dark. He said, let there be light. Boom, and there was light. Right? Jesus, I think about when he walked on water, right? And he gets into the boat, and he says to the wind and the waves, be still. Boom, in an instant, it was still. Jesus walks up to the grave, and he says, Lazarus, come out. Lazarus walks out of the grave. But God rarely, I said rarely ever, because there might still be an example out there. You guys can come show me after the service. But I have yet to find an instance where God develops a person instantly. I have yet to find where God just plucks someone up and says, yep, you're good to go. No training or development or waiting necessary. Hop in the game. Go for it. We look at Abraham. He was promised a great nation. He was promised a son. He had to wait till he was about 100 years old before he got his son. Joseph had to wait years in slavery in prison. Moses spent 40 years in Egypt. He ran away. He spent 40 years as a shepherd. You guys don't even realize that. I didn't realize that. He spent 40 years. When Moses went back to Egypt and did the whole let my people go, he was 80, right? He was 80. He waited all of those years. David was anointed king, and he had to wait decades after actually becoming king. Israel as a nation had to wait centuries for a Messiah. They waited and they waited and they waited. I think God is getting our attention with something that maybe waiting isn't the exception, but I think that waiting is one of God's primary methods for discipling. I feel like this, let's just be open. Do you guys ever hear about those stories that it's like something just blew up? Someone just became successful overnight. Something that someone was working on just blew up. They're instantly just successful. And you see these stories online and you wonder, like, what am I doing wrong? Do you guys ever get that? Like, what am I missing that I don't have what they have, that I'm not there, that I haven't accomplished all that I feel like I should have by this moment? I think we've all felt that way at some point. But I think this is what we need to know, that waiting is never wasted. The waiting is never wasted. So if you're in a season where you feel like something that you want, something that God is leading you towards, whatever that might be for your life, and the waiting is killing you, or that same struggle is hanging around, or that same disappointment is still there, let's just take a deep breath and know that the waiting and the process is okay. God is still working. I'm gonna show us a couple of things that God does through the waiting. You guys all right with that? I know this is not a popular message, like, hey, let's all wait for stuff. This is not fun, it's not exciting, but it's necessary. It is really necessary, and I hope you guys will see why. So I have a couple of lessons that we can learn through the waiting. And let's go for it. Number one, that waiting prepares us for what God has prepared. The waiting prepares us for what God has prepared for us. Jesus is the only one who knows your future. So think about that for a second. That your kids, your spouse, your boss, nobody knows what the future holds for you. So therefore, they cannot adequately prepare you for what's around the corner. No one can see what's around the corner. Only Jesus knows what's going to happen to you next year, what's going to happen to your family 5 years from now, where you're going to be 20 years from now, right? Only Christ knows what is going to happen. You cannot accomplish the spiritual work with human strength, and you cannot produce what God has promised yourself. So when Jesus tells the disciples, I need you to wait here, what he's essentially telling them is, I have something that you guys need to do that you cannot do by yourself. Only I can do this for you. Only Christ could do for the disciples what was about to happen next. They can't create it. All they can do is receive it. And this is frustrating because when God tells you something, when God lays something on your heart, when you're going through something, our instinct is to do everything we can to get there. Our instinct is to do everything we can to make it happen. We are terrible, just by nature, we are terrible waiters. But God is preparing us. I thought of several instances of things that you cannot rush, that you just have to let happen. I was thinking about a pregnancy, right? The goal with the pregnancy is to wait to get to full term. You want that baby to develop as long as it possibly can in the womb so that it's what? If it's healthy, so it's healthy when it comes out. That's the goal. If a baby is born early, there are certain risks associated with that, right? So imagine the disciples So Jesus is saying, wait here in Jerusalem. I'm going to give you something that I promised you. It's the Spirit. You're going to need this. Imagine if they would have said, nah, we're good. We're going to start this. We've seen enough. And they just launch at it without the work of the Holy Spirit. They probably would have crashed and burned. Same with a business plan, right? Imagine if you're writing a business plan and instead of really developing this business, you launch your business only to find out there's no market for what you have. It might crash and burn. That maybe Jesus has something for you. He's working through you, but you have to wait because he is aligning things. He's doing things that you can't see. Almost everything valuable grows slowly. This is how God designed our world. This is how God designed us. I don't know why he did this. I'm just telling you that he did do this. He made it so that the good things develop slowly. They develop over time with work and attention. This is just what he does. Guys with me? Doing all right? All right. Rock and roll. Next one. Waiting reveals what we trust. This is probably my favorite point. The waiting reveals what we trust. There's this awesome story in Deuteronomy. We're reflecting. I mentioned Moses. So he goes in there to Egypt. You guys might be familiar with the story. The nation of Israel are slaves. He says, let my people go. Pharaoh says no. And then there's these plagues. And eventually Pharaoh says yes. And then he says no again. And anyways, so Moses gets everyone out of Egypt. They cross the Red Sea. And they are going to what? Where are they trying to get into? The promised land. They're trying to get to that glorious, glorious promised land flowing with milk and honey. This sounds awesome. It's going to be amazing. The nation of Israel is going to a beautiful land with palm trees and green grass, and there's milk and there's honey, and we're going to get there. Imagine that being your promise. You just got freed from slavery, and what God told you was you're going to a land with milk and honey, a land that I promised you, a land where I'm going to build a great nation, a land where a Savior is going to come from who's going to be a blessing to the whole world forevermore, and that's where I'm taking you. And you're like, awesome. But what did they step into? A wilderness. Not for a week, not for a month, but for years. This is the psychology of God. He says, I'm going to give you this, but before you walk into the promised land, I'm going to make you walk through a wilderness. Deuteronomy 8:2 says this, that remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you to these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart. This reveals why God makes us wait, why God will lead you through a wilderness. I don't know why this keeps popping into my head, but I'm thinking of a marriage right now. Maybe you're in a wilderness season in a marriage where God is making you walk through things, tough things, hard things, uncomfortable things, because there is a better version of the marriage on the other side of the wilderness. But this is what it says. It says that God tested them. He wanted to know what was in their heart. And the only way to know what was in their heart was to make them wait. He had to make them wait. So here's the question for us. If God was making you wait for something he promised you, for something he wants to give to you, for something he wants to deliver you from, and he makes you wait, what are you doing? What is in your heart? What is coming up? Are you complaining? The Israelites certainly did. It also exposed unbelief. Some of them decided to walk away. I don't believe this anymore. I'm going to worship my own God. I don't believe this God who promised what he promised me. I'm going to find a different version. I'm going to find a different God. I don't want this anymore. And they walked away. And I feel like some of us, we need to know what God says is going to happen. When God speaks, everything has to come under the word of the Lord. If he said something, if he promised you something, it's going to happen. I mentioned Abraham as well. This is another one. God promised Abraham a great nation and a son that the nation will come through. And he had to wait 100 years to get his son Isaac. But in the meantime, Abraham also tried to take it into his own hands. And he tried to have a son with someone else that wasn't his wife. And it made this whole mess. And it revealed that he didn't ultimately trust God was going to do what he said he was going to do. And it created a whole bunch of problems. Waiting on the Lord is always worth it. Psalm 27:14 says, wait for the Lord, be strong, take courage. Waiting requires courage. Because faith is the hardest when everything seems quiet, when you're praying and you don't get the answer you want, when you're waiting and the circumstances aren't getting any better. If waiting was your test, how many of you guys think, you don't have to raise your hand, if waiting is a test, if this season is a test for you, do you think you're passing? Do you think you're passing the test? Ugh. I thought back to some times in my life when I waited horribly, and I was just like, I just felt like I had this remorse because I look back and God did so much for me that I didn't realize in those waiting seasons, and I can look back and go, oh, that's why. I always listened to this pastor growing up, and he said that if God gave me everything I wanted when I wanted it, it would be a disaster. Think about it, the first crush you had in middle school, if God says, well, go for it, y'all get married, and you just were able to, you know, stick with the first person you had feelings for, and you could look back and go, wow, good thing God had his hand on me, right? If you went for the first thing or followed every impulse, boy, what would your life look like? Sometimes those closed doors, those no's, have led you to exactly where you need to be. Nobody thinks about waiting as a test, but I want you guys to do that. I want you to think of waiting as God's test for you. He's just squeezing your heart to see what's inside. He's testing your character to see if he can trust you. Waiting is never fun, but it's a really good test to see what kind of character we have. What kind of faith do we have? Sometimes we're waiting for the wrong thing. I love this in the scripture here. The disciples think at this moment, Jesus is going to establish his authority over the Roman Empire. This is the time when he's going to raise up the Israelite nation. And they're asking Jesus in this moment. They're like, okay, so is this it? Is this happening? Are we doing it? And Jesus goes, no, I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. Jesus completely changes the subject. He completely shifts. All the disciples are like, it's time. Let's do this thing. You know, Jesus, we saw you die and come back from the dead. You predicted your own death and resurrection and then did it. There's not much that will stop us now. Let's go, baby. Let's get in line. We're going to do this thing. And Jesus completely changes the subject. And he says, no. Do not leave here. Wait here because I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you're waiting on something that God is not intending to give you. Sometimes we're expecting and we're excited and we're focused on and fixated on something that God doesn't even want to give you. I thought about this really funny example a couple of years ago. It's kind of embarrassing, I'm going to tell you anyways. We were really busy, and we had something going on. I remember what it was. It was a couple of years ago, and I had to go. My job was to pick up Little Caesar's Pizza and get back to the house. And it was kind of like a summer day like we've had, and town was busy, and everything was busy. And I drive up to Little Caesars, and there's all these, it's just the parking lot's a mess, and I see all these people inside, and I don't want to go inside. I'm like, I'll try the drive-through, and I get behind this car, and I'm waiting. I was there probably 10 minutes, and no one had moved, and I'm just like, I call Melissa. I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't know what else to do. Like, I'm trying to go as fast as I can. I know we're in a rush, And at that moment, I realized there was nobody in the car that was in front of me. It was a parked car. And I was just, and I was sitting there, and I didn't tell her at first. I just hung up, and I was just, okay. And I just, like, one of my more embarrassing moments that I was sitting behind a car with no one in it expecting it to move. And I'm sitting there just getting all flustered, like, what is this guy's problem? What do you order, like 30 pizzas? You know, can't you call ahead? Can't you do something else? And I'm parked behind a car that there was no one in it. I was like, oh, Ethan, okay, never tell anyone, but now I just did. So that's a good visual for what some of us are doing. Some of us got our car parked behind someone who's not moving, and we're waiting on God, like, God, come on, show up, where are you? The line's over here, and it's moving along. God never promised some things that we're waiting on. It's important that what you expect from God, where you expect him to move and what you expect him to do lines up with his word. A lot of us are going to suffer in this world. I've been reading through 1 Kings in my personal quiet time. There's a lot of hardships. There's a lot of tough stuff that a lot of people had to go through that wasn't fun. And God was with them, but God doesn't always promise that life will be super easy and super awesome all the time once you become a Christian. There's going to be some tough stuff. So what does God actually promise you? You got to dig into the word. What do you wait for? You wait for peace, salvation. God will always be with you. He's always going to take care of your needs today, right? God will give you your daily bread for today. In this instance, he's promising the Holy Spirit. God says, my Holy Spirit is going to come and it's going to just fill you up and empower you. Wait for that. Wait for the Spirit of God. Because once you have the Spirit of God, you'll know what to do. You'll know what to say. You'll know how to handle these situations. I feel like so many times we're waiting just like the disciples. This is crazy. They're waiting on a political answer to the spiritual problem. Isn't that so true today? We're waiting on the political answer for a spiritual problem, right? God doesn't promise, like, amazing godly politics. It would be nice. I would like that. We should want that. But God doesn't promise us that. What does he promise us? What have you been waiting on that hasn't been moving? Are you waiting on the right thing? Or are you waiting on something that's not coming? Are you waiting on success, answers, comfort? That's just not coming. God is much more interested in having you wait for wisdom, for character, for dependence, for power through his Spirit. Are you guys still with me? All right. Waiting is how God forms a relationship. Waiting is how God forms a relationship. I'm still kind of working through this point, but what I found is that through the waiting with God, through the waiting in silence, through spending time with him without feeling like you're taking these huge leaps and bounds forward is super necessary. Having those questions and those presence with Christ, enduring through the silence, is how he builds character. When the nation of Israel had to wait in the wilderness before they got to the promised land still held a lot of problems. It should have been called the problem land because that's pretty much what happened when they walked in there. They walked in there and there was a big problem. There was already big, strong, warlord, giant people living there, okay? So it was a promised land, but it was also a problem land. And they needed to know how to hear from God. They needed to know they could depend on God. They needed to know God was going to see them through it. And if they had just waltzed from Egypt into the promised land, they would have had none of that, right? They needed to know how to stop. God said, for 40 years, you're not going anywhere. You're going to sit in this promised land. We're going to talk. You're going to be dependent on me. God said, here is manna from heaven. I am going to feed you. You're going to learn to depend on me. We wait for things that are of true value. We wait for things that are worth it. I am so bad at waiting, guys, but waiting on the Lord, waiting for him, waiting for his provision is worth it, right? I remember when Melissa and I got engaged, she took off and left the state for 6 months. The two weren't correlated necessarily, but it was worth it for both of us to wait for 6 months to get married. For us, it was worth it to wait. Have you guys ever waited for something and it just made it all the better because you waited for it? It was better, right? What things that we wait for are worth it. It creates obedience. They pray together, guys. The disciples, they're waiting for the Holy Spirit. They had to bond. They had to wait together. They had to be obedient, and they prayed. They waited well. They waited by praying, by looking for wisdom and provision and maturity. So this is where I kind of want to close us a little bit. What does someone who waits well, what do they look like? What do they have? What do they acquire by waiting? Scripture never guarantees perfect health. It never guarantees that every relationship will be restored. All your financial problems will go away. You'll have easy lives. But he does promise his Holy Spirit. He promises his presence, peace, wisdom, salvation, and provision. Couple of thoughts I have for you. Someone who waits well, we learned from James 1, 2 through 4, you become spiritually stable, become mature, you become spiritually stable. So this means that when something happens, we don't just react poorly. That when a tough situation comes up in your life, when something doesn't go well, if you're reacting to that, reacting poorly, chances are you've never waited well. Someone who waits well has spiritual maturity. When challenges and obstacles come up like they always will, you know how to take a deep breath. You know how to reflect on the character of God. Wait, people who wait well, this is what they can do. Something comes up and they go, well, God got me through this. God got me through that. And this situation, he provided for me here, 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 and here. And he's going to provide for me again. And they stand in that faithfulness. Someone who does not wait well, something happens and something that they did not expect, something bad, and they just crumble. And they go, oh, you know, God, is he even real? Do I even follow him anymore? And their faith is challenged. You learn how to hear from the Holy Spirit. This one's a good one. This one's tough because we want to hear from ourselves and our friends, and we want to kind of do our own thing. But learning to hear from the Holy Spirit takes time. Just like when you get to know someone, Cooper and I were talking, just like he said in his parade, his sister was out there and she needed some help. And she gave you a look, right? And she just kind of gave you that look, and you know your sister really well, and you knew that look means she needs help, and you get up there and you help her, right? If you have someone that you're really close to, that's all it takes is that look, where they give you that look, and you're like, oh, I know what that means, because I have spent hours and hours and hours and hours with them. I know how they think, and I know how they feel, and that look means, right? The Holy Spirit is the same way. He's a person who wants to teach you, show you, comfort you, and lead you, and you need to spend time with him. And when you spend time with someone in the very beginning, this can be kind of awkward. Like, so, you know, what do you do for fun? This is kind of like getting that out of the way, but I encourage you to spend time with this Holy Spirit because this is something worth waiting for. You learn to be humble and gentle. Listen, when God tests you, you learn to be humble, because you know God can test you again. This is why God sent the Israelites into the wilderness, to test them and to humble them. How proud must they have been, slaves for the past several hundred years? Like, how much pride could they have had? But God said, nope, 40 years in the desert to humble you. Guys, those who have been tested, those who can wait on the Lord, they are humble. They are not proud. All right, if you meet someone who is humble, chances are they have waited on the Lord. Isaiah says that you will have renewed strength and hope. Isn't that awesome? That waiting in the Lord will give you renewed strength and a renewed hope, which is exactly the opposite of my instinct. If I feel like something needs to get done, what's going to renew my strength and hope is to get her done, is to move forward, do all I can do, make the phone call, move and shake and try to roll the ball down the hill a little bit. But God says, no, 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 no. Those who can wait, I'm going to renew their strength. I'm going to renew their hope. How many of you guys have been trying to just make it happen rather than waiting, taking a moment, sitting down, taking a breath, say, Lord, what do you have for me? Renew my strength. Renew my hope. God can do something that no one else can do for you. And oftentimes we don't let him, and it feels miserable, and you have burnout, and you are hopeless. Let the Lord renew your hope. Also, this is awesome. Waiting is going to give God the glory. Waiting on the Lord is going to reflect God's glory in your life. Waiting on him is going to allow him to do things that are greater than what you and I could ever do. And that is going to give God the glory, because someone's going to look at your life and they're going to see what God has done, and they're going to see God's glory, not our things, not our accomplishments. They're going to see God's glory. When the Holy Spirit came in Pentecost, when they waited for that, it was God's glory. The things that were impossible became possible, and God was glorified. When we wait on him, God's going to look at you, and he's going to say, oh, that's someone that I can work with. That's someone I can work through. That's someone where I'm going to let my glory shine, because they're waiting on me faithfully. So let's ask this week, what are we waiting for? God, why are you making me wait? Have you not learned the lesson yet? Maybe God says, another year, another couple months. Let's wait a little bit longer. You need to know me a little bit deeper. You need to rely on me a little bit stronger. What are you waiting for? And we need to ask God, what are you teaching me while I wait? What are you teaching me while I wait? I just want to end with this last statement, is if the waiting really is the test, are we passing or are we failing? That's such a good one. This waiting really is a test. Are we failing it? Guys, God has so much for you. When we slow down, take a breath, and wait on him, he's got the hope, he's got strength, he's got spirit, salvation, and peace, and wisdom, and so much more, that if you just stop reaching and grabbing, he will hand it to you. All right? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for teaching us this rhythm of waiting. I pray for someone this morning that feels so rushed, so out of breath, that they're waking up in the morning feeling like their head is already spinning. God, that the circumstances of Ludington, it just so matches this craziness and the busy and the traffic and the holidays matches a lot of us what we feel in our heart. And I pray that you can just bring a spirit of calm, a spirit of peace, and teach us to wait as a church. Teach us to wait for things that are worth waiting for. Help us to slow down and lean on you, Lord. Let us learn the lessons that you want us to learn in the waiting. God, and just like the disciples, I pray that we can learn to wait for his spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. Thanks, guys. I'm not sure if we have anyone from the prayer team. We got a few. Maybe a couple of y'all that I'm looking at can jump up here. Before you guys leave, if you need or want any prayer, there'll be a couple of folks, we call this the Holy Corner over here, that you can head on over there and get some prayer. Or if you know someone who needs some prayer that you just want to bring up to them, they'd love to be able to pray with you, put a hand on your shoulder, and just go to the Lord. Also, don't forget to go pick up your little ones. Bam, right there. Go find them and pick them up before you go. And that's all we have for you guys. Y'all are dismissed, and we'll see y'all next week.